In his famous poem, Harlem, Langston Hughes asked, what happens to a dream deferred? That question is in the hearts and minds of the inmates that are profiled in a new HBO documentary called The University of Sing Sing, which airs tonight at 9:45. These prisoners serving long sentences for violent crimes they committed in their youth are part of a unique program run by Hudson Link, a nonprofit organization which partners with colleges to provide inmates with an opportunity to earn a degree while serving their time. Hudson Link's programs provide prisoners with hope, dignity, and the opportunity for a second chance in life. And I'm very pleased to welcome Tim Skousen, the film's director, and Sean Pica, a founder and executive director of Hudson Link, to our show today. Hello.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Sean, yeah. Aren't you a former Sing Sing inmate?
I am. I got in trouble as a teenager. At 16 years old, I went to prison. New York is one of only two states where at 16 you're considered an adult and sentenced as one. And I found myself in Sing Sing with little and no education. I'd only gone to the ninth grade.
And how long did you serve?
I served 16 years of a 24-year sentence.
But there are educational resources at every prison, aren't there?
For most prisons in this country.
Get a GED at least?
You can get a GED in this country, yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was what was available to you?
Yep. So I got my GED and I moved on. And at that time, there were college programs working in many of the prisons. And I was able to go to pre-college and then college. And then in 1994, when the college programs were taken away, I had 118 credits and no degree.
The money was taken away because federal and state funding was completely slashed?
Yeah. Well, the state and federal funding was taking care of the programs through Pell Grants. And the legislative change restricted the Pell Grants from paying for it.
And what was the rationale for cutting that funding?
The rationale, I think, was kind of a get tough on crime mentality. But education is statistically the only thing proven to lower the recidivism rate. So it didn't really make much sense.
You were in prison when you were one of the people who decided to create Hudson Link?
Yes. Yeah, so in 1994, when the programs were taken away, we literally watched the college programs pack up their boxes and books and take them out. And it was a real blow to the hope that was in that facility. And right then we started to brainstorm, and we were lucky to have a superintendent, Brian Fisher, that was at the facility that worked with us to how to build a college program.
Because Brian Fisher realized that if you became educated, there was less chance that you'd be coming back?
Well, I think two things. Number one, it's proven that the men and women that get an education don't come back. And number two,
well, the recidivism rate is very low.
It's much lower, yeah. And number two, that for the superintendents and commissioners that run these programs in these states, realize that if you get educated, that the facilities are safer.
So how did you wind up connecting with Mercy College? That's the one that is providing the education at Sing Sing, and the one that is focused on in the documentary, although they're Hudson Link, as I understand, also works with other colleges at other correctional facilities?
We have Vassar, Siena, SUNY Sullivan, Nyack College, and Mercy College. Mercy College was one of the programs that was involved in the 80s when it was run with Pell Grants. So as soon as we created a program and came back in, Nyack and Mercy were the first ones to jump right in.
Tim, how did you first hear about this program at Sing Sing?
Well, I have a family connection. One of the teachers at Mercy College who goes over to the prison is my mother. And she's featured in the documentary teaching the English class on the section on A Raisin in the Sun. And she would just tell me these stories about these men that she was working with and comparing their hunger and thirst for education with the students that she would teach outside of the prison at the normal campus. And she would describe the poems that they would write and the way they would prepare, that he would assign normally one act of a play for a week to the normal students. And in Sing Sing, they would have read the play three times by the time she came back. And it just sounded very moving. I'm a commercial director by trade, and I just ended up with about 2 months that I knew that I had free. And so I just said, listen, I'm going to come out there and do a documentary about this, and met up with Sean. And at that time, Sean had been released and was running the program and ended up doing a profile on the program that became this film.
Is your mother the English professor who comments in the film that prisoners have the same classes, same teachers, same syllabus as Mercy College students on the main campus? But she says the big difference is that the inmates are better students.
Yes, that's her.
Yes, that's That's my mother, yes.
Yeah, well, how do you account for that, Sean?
Well, I think for me, we've been very lucky with some amazing colleges and professors that just give 110%. But the fact of the matter is the students are very hungry for a second chance, and they realize that education is going to be that second chance. But also it's not just the curriculum. It's this idea that you're a part of something bigger than yourself.
Well, also when you go to college, there are other distractions, parties mm-hmm. and the like. In prison, these students can study well, every moment that they're not in class.
Yeah, well,
and they're studying really complicated subjects.
Absolutely. We have an AA degree in liberal arts, a BA in behavioral science, and a BS in organizational management. And those degrees have been worked really well with the students coming home that are getting into the social services field. But the fact is that they've all done really, really well. The students get great marks.
Tim, you wanted to add?
I just wanted to add that I wouldn't say that it's easy. It's easier for them in a maximum security prison to study. There's still a lot of noise and a lot of distractions. However, I think what Sean said is true. These guys see this as a second chance, and it's very precious to them. And, of course, if they make any mistakes while they're in the program, they can't continue to do the program. And so they've really dedicated themselves. And so they're you know, and there are students like this on the outside who are really dedicated, but these guys see this as a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Especially since it also shows that they're smarter than anybody thought they were when they committed their crime. But, you know, there's another argument. I'm sure you've heard it. I can't afford to send my kids to college, or we have to take on huge debt, and then these violent criminals are getting a free college education.
Yeah.
And that is in the crux of the film. That is what's at stake. And in fact, that argument was one of the major arguments that led to the removal of the state and federal funding to begin with in 1994. And it's not a bad argument. I mean, when you think about it, you know, here are people that, you know, have raised their kids right and they can't afford college. And so you really have to step back and get some perspective to understand why this makes sense. And I hope this comes through in the film, that what you're essentially doing is you're saying, okay, these are people that made a mistake. Do they deserve an education? You know, they don't pay very – it's not free, but it's also very inexpensive for them to do it. Do they deserve this education? Frankly, they don't. The choices that they've made, you know, it doesn't seem like they should get this education. However, for society at large, it is a better program to spend money to educate prisoners than it is to leave them uneducated and have them come out and commit more crimes. And so you really just have to step back and not think about the individual. Now, these are fantastic guys who truly feel a lot of remorse for what they've done, and I don't want to, you know, dishonor them in saying that. But the truth is you have to take a step back and say, what is the best policy for society as a whole? And this program is a program that improves society.
My guests are Tim Skousen, filmmaker responsible for the University of Sing Sing, which airs tonight on HBO at 9:45, and Sean Pica, who is one of the founders of the program that the film is about, called Hudson Link. Did you want to add to anything about people who complain
about
guys like you getting a free college education?
Sure. I mean,
it did cost you a little bit?
Statistically, the students that are in the program do really well in the prison and out of the prison. So when we look at how the impact is back on the community, for every dollar you spend on a program like this, there's a $12 return back in the community. So it does impact financially on us.
Well, I was looking at the recidivism rates. In the United States, 43% of inmates return to prison within 3 years of their release. But to date, less than 2% of Hudson Link's graduates have returned.
Yes.
Are they getting jobs? Because it's one of the hardest things after you get out of prison, especially if you've committed a violent crime and spent a long time in prison and can't explain what those what you were doing during those 25 years, people have a really hard time getting a decent job.
For the large part, the majority of our students come home and get right to work. Almost all of them end up in the social services field as caseworkers, service providers, social workers, HIV/AIDS counselors. So it's a really good fit for them. They're good at it. And it's one of the fields that a felony background does not hurt you. So it's been really, really lucky that these students have done well in this, and it's a good fit.
Well, we've had educational programs in the prisons in the past, and they've all been seen as relative failures. How do you account for the fact that this program has been such a success?
I think the fact that 40% of our staff that run the programs have been through the programs, it has a double impact. not only are you in there coordinating this program in a maximum security prison, but the students know that this is real. It must be real because you went through it, you're home, and now you're back and running it.
Tim, one of the inmates that you profile in the film, a couple of them really stand out, but one of them, Joel Jimenez, is serving a 23-year term for the murder of a man he thought was going to kill his brother, and he reflects on the damage he's done to two families, his own and his victims. He's obviously very sorry for what he did and is intent on changing his life. What has happened to him since the film was shot? Is he still in prison?
He is still in prison. He's eligible to come home in 2015. Actually, his wife is coming for the HBO screening tonight. She's very excited. But he's also – this film has highlighted his empathy, because before that, no one really talked about what they've done or what they've been through. So having a chance to tell his story has had a real healing impact on him, his family, and the victim's family.
And I noticed that none of these guys said, "I didn't do it."
No, that's only in the movies.
You wanted to say something else, Tim? What do you want to tell us about another one, Dennis Martinez?
Dennis is fantastic, a wonderful artist. But I think more than anything, what I would say is that I wanted, by design and the choices that these men have made, they've been separated from society. And you're really not presented, unless you have a family member, as a society as a whole, you're not presented with these people to get to know them. And so one of my big pushes during the interviews was to give them an opportunity to tell them about themselves. What happened, how they feel about it, and how education is changing them. Because I wanted to present without narration, without an agenda, just to say, here are people that have made mistakes that you don't normally have access to. And so you end up meeting some really interesting people. Now, are these inmates, you know, is this what you're seeing in prisons everywhere? There are people like this in prisons everywhere. There, of course, are worse elements in prison as well. But when you think about Dennis Martinez or Joel Jimenez or even Raymond Yu, who created this beautiful poem about being an eagle in a cage trying to escape. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say escape. trying to prepare for him for leaving prison and educating himself. You really get a sense that, you know, you can't just slap a label on everyone in prison as they're bad. We all make mistakes, some worse than others.
A listener, Helen from Manhattan, says she thinks that some politicians may not care as much about college programs for inmates because they don't live in the communities that have problems with recidivists.
Well, I think for the most part, the prison system in New York, there's about 52,000 men and women right now in New York in the system, have predominantly come from the five most impoverished communities in New York City. So when they go way upstate to serve time in these prisons, they're not from those communities. And then when they're done serving their time, they go back to those same five communities. The one thing that I've seen, though, is they left as someone that hurt those communities or themselves or their families, but they're returning as a role model. And we've had a really big impact, not just on the community, but on the youth that look up to these educated guys as role models.
Because they speak in public schools and tell kids what happened to them and why they should try to avoid doing the same sorts of things. A caller also asked about the difference in cost between a prison college program and regular college programs, which can be quite expensive.
On average, it's about $5,000 a year per student to educate them, and that's the same coursework, curriculum, adjunct professors as you would get on the campus. The big difference is that it's just the community style that it's run in.
Now, Tim, there are a few high-profile supporters of the program in the documentary, like Harry Belafonte, Ice-T, Warren Buffett. You interviewed Ice-T. What insights did he have?
Well, you know, he's been a supporter of the program for a long time. And one of the things that he said that I thought made a really big impact, especially when we show the film, is he raised this issue of how many of us really know what we're doing when we're 16. And I, as I show the film around, I show it to high school students. And I really think to myself when I'm first showing it to them, how many of these, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids are going to pay attention to this film? But they all key in on that. They see the choices that these guys made when they were teenagers, and they recognize, as Ice-T says, you know, how many of us are really thinking about the choices that we make at that time period in our life? And I've seen, you know, kids come up afterwards and just say, you know, I just didn't think about the impact that the choices that I was making is having on my life. And so, you know, when you have someone like Ice-T that they respect and he says something like that, you know, it has a bigger impact on the kids. So he, Warren Buffett, Harry Belafonte. I mean, there are a lot of supporters, and Sean has really done great outreach in reaching out to these people to support the program, and they put a nice face on it to get it places that maybe wouldn't get normally, and so they're great at spreading the word. They're ambassadors, really, for the Hudson League program.
Well, Sean, we have very little time left, but based on your experience, what advice do you have for those who are incarcerated and continue to make bad decisions, continue to struggle with their
I think I could give a little bit of insight, just using myself as the example. I went into prison at 16. I'd only gone to the ninth grade. But when I came home, I was 32. When I walked out of the gates of Sing Sing, I had more time in prison than out of prison. And I was scared. Just knowing that the high rate of men and women that are returning to prison, how would I be any different? The one thing I found out right away was the only thing I had that made me different was an education, and it was the only thing I needed.
Sing Sing is probably the most high-profile prison doing this, but there's also Green Correctional Facility, Fishkill Correctional Facility, Sullivan Correctional Facility, Taconic Correctional Facility. My great thanks to Sean Pica and Tim Skousen for talking about this film, The University of Sing Sing, which is on HBO tonight at 6:45. And Tim, how does it wind up on HBO? Did they commission the film?
No, this was a film done independently by Moxie Pictures, which is a commercial and film company that I'm a director for, and we did the festival route, and just so happened at one of the festivals that one of the acquisitions, a wonderful executive at HBO named Jackie Glover, saw the film and wanted it, and they bought it at that point.
Is this being shown at Sing Sing?
It's actually Tim, the superintendent at Sing Sing gave permission for Tim and his family to come in and watch the movie with the students. It was amazing. What
is it like for you to walk into a prison these days, Sean?
You know what? It's the best job in the world, but I get to go home at night.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. Sean Pica, Tim Skousen, The University of Sing Sing on HBO tonight at 9:45.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.